Good morning, everyone. I think I introduce myself. I'm Michael Green, the clerk of Green's List, which probably most in the room know. Now, this morning, I have been told, first of all, by our presenters that both screens are going to be in use, and therefore, you might be better to be a bit further back or a bit closer in. I pass it on for anyone who wants to move. As I just said, whoever's been at church when the priest or the minister says, would everyone come forward, and sees the success rate of zero, I don't expect anyone to move. Now, this morning's LinkedIn for lawyers, as you know. It comes under the practice management and business skills area of CPD, and therefore that's where the point will apply. Obviously, it's about social media, which we are all aware to a greater or lesser extent. We saw the power of social media in a social context a couple of years ago, of course, in the Arab Spring, when it helped bring down governments in the Middle East. It is amazing the spread and the strength of social media. This morning, we're going to learn about it in the professional context. Just an anecdote about that. It interests me as someone who's of a generation that is not naturally drawn to social media. I was talking to a solicitor in the office a couple of weeks ago, and he just left the large firm he'd been with to open his own practice, and he was practicing from his home. And I said, I assume you're doing advertising in the local papers and things of that nature to build a practice. And I was really thinking he would have nothing to do, you know, at least for maybe 6 months or more. And he said, no. He said, I'm very busy. He said, in fact, I've put on a legal assistant to help me. And he said, it is predominantly because of LinkedIn. All of his advertising or getting the word out about his new practice was via LinkedIn. And to the extent that he was flat out busy and employed a person, it surprised me, and I guess was part of the reason why we're sitting here this morning, because it made me think I need to learn more about it. I've actually had one of our presenters, Mo, on the left, or my left, they're further left, come and sit with me and teach me about it, and Justine as well. But I'm here this morning as someone to learn also, so it's interesting times. Now, our two presenters are Justine Ronchkowski there, immediate left, and Mo Fahl, further on the left. Justine, in fact, is a lawyer. She's like most of us in the room, been over 15 years a lawyer, both as a solicitor and a barrister, and in-house counsel. So I think all you need to do, Justine, to cover the whole profession is be a barrister's clerk, and you've done it all. With an interest in social media, Justine has opened her own, or set up her own social media consultancy, which is busy consulting to the legal profession in particular, and as I said, she has consulted to us at Green's List because of our interest in the area and need to know about the area. Our other presenter, who is also works with Justine, is Mo Fahl. Mo is a marketing professional, not a lawyer. She had more than 15 years as a marketing professional, particularly helping professional services organisations. And so we'll start now. Our normal process, as you know, is go till about 8 o'clock or so, have a break, and then quarter past eight till about quarter to nine. So please welcome, I think, to start with Justine Ronchkowski.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome. Thank you, Michael, for the invitation to present today. Just by way of brief background, I came to LinkedIn in 2011, but I have been probably the most active using LinkedIn this year when I set up my own practice in April. LinkedIn has been my sole marketing tool, and can't speak enough of its benefits in growing and developing my practice. Don't know if many of you have seen this particular, this popped up on my LinkedIn page one day. I love this graphic, probably because it's a little bit silly, but particularly because it shows what LinkedIn is in contrast to, say, Facebook and Twitter. Facebook and Twitter is known as being a forum where people post updates on their child's developmental stages, thoughts off the top of their head, what they're doing at that particular time, point in time. LinkedIn, on the other hand, is none of those. LinkedIn is the... Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cough. Can you pass me my water? Thanks. LinkedIn is a professional forum, and it's important to realise the distinction when using LinkedIn, not to approach it as one would Facebook or Twitter, etc. On that topic, who in this room has a blog? Can I get a show of hands? One. Who in this room uses Twitter? Okay. Who in this room is on Facebook? Okay, so quite a few people on Facebook. Well, LinkedIn is the Facebook for professionals. But it's, as I said, it's a very different tool to Facebook and needs to be approached in a very different way. And what we're going to try and demonstrate today is how to make your LinkedIn profile and your LinkedIn usage, how to optimise it to express your professional character and your professional activities.
So how many people are actually on LinkedIn at the moment? Okay, how many people here post content to LinkedIn? Okay.
All right, good. So this is the agenda today. About LinkedIn, quickly we'll... It speaks for itself, I think. We'll also go into the anatomy of LinkedIn, how to do certain things. And then we'll talk about building your personal brand. Personal brand was a term that was coined in 2005. I prefer the term professional profile, but that's just because I'm a little bit more conservative. I think the marketing speak is professional brand, and Mo and I often, she's using professional brand, and I said, you mean professional profile, but, same term. And then we'll briefly cover the pros and cons of a basic versus a paid account. We're not advocating a paid account, and we'll go into the reasons for that at the end. LinkedIn demographics and statistics. In Australia, there are now over 5 million users of LinkedIn. There are 200 million users of LinkedIn worldwide. That number has grown significantly in Australia in the last year. I think as of September, there were 3.6 million users, and in 1.5 months, that jumped to 5 million, which is a huge increase. I read an article in The Age the other day which addressed the 12 do's and don'ts of using social media. And the final point was that LinkedIn is now at a point where if you're not on LinkedIn, there's an inference drawn that you're hiding something or that you haven't got something to tell. It's the 9th most visited website in Australia, and it refers more traffic to corporate law firm websites than all other social media combined. Mo, do you want to have a chat about why to use LinkedIn?
Hello, everyone. When I first joined LinkedIn in 2006, any increase in visibility was usually associated with a job move. It was very much seen as a, job recruiter's website. So I think it's very much evolved, and in the last couple of years, it's much more a networking site. As Justine's just said, there's 5 million users now on LinkedIn, so that's pretty much most of the professionals in Australia. So why be on LinkedIn? So I think that's the number one reason is that your clients are probably on it, and if they're there, you should be there too. So there's lots of things it can do for you in terms of managing to keep in touch with your contacts. For someone who has career breaks, say myself personally, I've had a couple of maternity leave breaks over the last few years. It's a really easy way to keep in touch with your network, your professional network. It's also great to raise your profile. And that's something that Justine will talk about a bit later in terms of building your professional brand or your professional profile. All right, so what I'm going to do is hop into LinkedIn and just show you around. So most of you, I think, in the room are on it, but I mean, there are a handful of people who aren't on LinkedIn. So we'll, that's a lovely photo, Justine. There we go. So this is your homepage. So for most of you on Facebook, so it's very similar to that in that right at the top here, this is where you can post updates. It used to be where you can just post comments, but you can also post multimedia information, so presentations, video clips, links to articles that you found in the press that are useful, and that is then shared to your network. This area here, that's your news feed, like you see on Facebook, so people put, you know, it's all your status updates. So if someone changes a job, you'd see it there, or if someone has a new skill or you know, has posted an article, that will pop up there. Now, you do find some people are more prolific than others when it comes to posting content. You know, there's different rules. It's, LinkedIn is not Twitter. You don't want to be posting, you know, five times a day to it. Some people think you should post every day. I personally don't think you need to do that. It's really down to what you're comfortable with and what you can accommodate. But if you make, you know, I find I only need to post an update probably once a month to keep, you know, bubbling along with my own network. But, you know, some people, I think it's probably if you can post once or twice a week, that's pretty good. But if you do find someone's posting a lot, you can hide their updates. Let's just go and pick on someone down here. I won't hide them. So if you just click here, and when you hide them, I will undo it, don't worry, Justine. That's completely invisible to them. So you'll still get updates in terms of your LinkedIn email that will still summarize your weekly activity or daily activity. You can set the frequency, but it won't clutter up your inbox, your status updates. I forgot to undo that, sorry.
That's right.
I'll come back, fix that up later. Sorry about that. Okay, so over here, LinkedIn, based on your profile, LinkedIn will also suggest people that you may know, and that's based on where you've worked previously, your education, so it's how much you populated your personal profile. But we'll come to that more later. And up here at the top, this is kind of recent messages, and this little flag here gives you a summary of just recent activity. So, you know, but that sort of information you'll also get in an email from LinkedIn if you choose to receive emails as well. All right, so I'm just going to go into the profile page. And I'll take you around there as well. Okay, so when you set up a personal profile in LinkedIn, you can just set it up with your name. But there's some key areas that we want to look at. The most important real estate really on the page is this area here, and also your summary, which is this area here. The reason being that these are both optimized for, these are both searched by search engines, not just LinkedIn search, but also Google search. So it's quite important that for your title and your summary, you include keywords that people might search using in general Google search to find you. You'll often find if you look at Google and you put in someone's name that LinkedIn is normally the highest ranking. So I don't know what LinkedIn do, but they're very good at getting very high rankings on LinkedIn, which is why it is the most, for corporate legal websites, it refers more traffic to them than all of the social media combined. So what we have here, lots of people put their job title below their name. I would say you need to do a little bit more than that. You need to put what you do and who you do it for if you can. So, for example, rather than putting senior associate, you would put, say, a commercial lawyer for technology firms or for high growth technology firms, something of that nature. And likewise, with your summary, you know, you keep it brief. But you also want to try and find a bit of a personal voice in there if you can. We do recommend that you do it in the first person as well, not the third person. I'm just going to go around. All right, so I'm just going to show. So one of the things that LinkedIn does, it's also visible to on searches in Google. So you have a public you can choose to restrict your profile just to within LinkedIn and your network, or you can choose to have it shown on the general Google search. So to look at your public profile information, this is what the information you will see at the moment here on the left side of the screen. Now you can completely control what that is. So you can make your public profile visible to no one, like here. So therefore, you will only be visible on people in your network on LinkedIn. Or you can make your profile visible to everyone, and it's quite controllable about what you show. So, you know, you might just want to do, and it will show you on real time on the left hand side what will appear. I'm just messing around with your public profile here, Justine. So, and that will change what will appear down below. You also want to look at changing your URL. LinkedIn gives you a URL. Here you see Justine's change. If you look at yours, probably most of you have a code that's not very meaningful after your name. Here's Justine's changed that to her name, so it's much easier to remember, and you can use that on your email signatures and resumes on websites, what have you. LinkedIn's also gives you a bit of HTML code if you do have a website or a blog, which you can just put that button on there, and that also can push people towards your LinkedIn profile.
Do you want to show people how to change their URL?
Yep, it's just if you do want to change it, I'll go back one step.
A lot of people are including their URL, as Mo mentioned, on the bottom of business cards or on your stationery. That, for those of you who don't know, is your code. They can include that in a Google search and they go straight to your LinkedIn page.
Okay, so your URL is here below your photo. And always try and put a nice photo on, by the way. A nice smiling picture of your face rather than pictures with, you know, it's not Facebook, don't put pictures with kids on or...
Or cats.
Or cats, yeah.
I'm not against cats. A photo that will represent your professional profile, not your personal life.
Yeah. No selfies. I did see a very dodgy selfie the other week.
I've got a photo from someone at the races, which is also not recommended.
So this below the photo here is the URL. So I can copy that and put that into a browser and it will take you directly to the LinkedIn, the public LinkedIn profile. So if you want to edit that, you go into your edit profile button. And on the right hand side, your public profile URL. It says here, it's below, it says customize your public profile URL. You have to keep the first bit, linkedin.com/IN, and then you can put something, you know, most people put their names, but you can put, you know, you can put fabulous barrister or I don't know, something that you'll remember, it's easy to remember.
That's another, I wouldn't put fabulous barrister. You put in the name that people are most likely to Google you by. It can be your first name, then your second, or if that's already taken, your second and then your first.
Okay, so and as I said, so this is afterwards, you can then use that on your general email signature. all right, so I'm going to look at managing account settings now. So this is below on the top right-hand side of your screen. You have a drop-down menu, and underneath that you have a privacy and settings option. So if you go into there, it'll ask you to sign in because it's an extra security measure. Okay, so this is where you'll see where you can upgrade your account. I'll talk about the differences in between paid and free accounts later. But I'm not going to go through everything in here because we haven't got time to do that today, but I'll just go through what I think the most important things are. Okay, so Justine has a basic account, a free account, which the vast majority of people do. I'm just going to go, so the first thing I'd say, if you are going to go away today and do a lot of updating on your LinkedIn profile, I'd recommend you turn off your activity broadcasts, because what can happen, and I've seen it happen a few times, is someone has a LinkedIn profile but perhaps haven't done their employment history, and they could have worked for the same place for 20 years. And I saw it very recently, last week in fact, where it was LinkedIn doesn't differentiate. If you add a new job and you're still in that job, it will say, send out messages, congratulate, you know, John Smith on their new job, and they've been there 20 years, it looks a bit silly. So if you're doing a lot of updating, you just have to go into this area here to turn off your activity, your broadcasts, network updates. So when you're finished, you go back in and turn it on again. Okay. This area here is about who can see your activity feed. So your connections, they're people that you've either accepted an invitation to, or you've invited them and they've accepted your invitation. So they are your first degree network. Your network, LinkedIn defines your network as people to the third degree. So it's your immediate connections, and then your connections, and then their connections again. And everyone is, that's if, you know, you post a status update and it's got a term in that will come up, and someone searches on Google, it can actually, they can retrieve that status update external to LinkedIn. So I post my, you know, I have mine set to everyone. If you're going to post something, unless it's sensitive material, I don't see the point in restricting it, but it's different for different industries. So yours is your connections. selecting what other people see when they viewed your profile. This is one that I get asked about an awful lot. This is the stalker settings, is what I call them. So I just want to make this very clear. If you set yourself to be totally anonymous, whether someone has a paid account or a free account, you will always be anonymous. They will not be able to see that you have viewed their profile. So if you are on, the difference is if you're on a free account and you choose to be anonymous, you also can't see the history of who's been viewing your profile. But if you have a paid account and someone views your profile and you're anonymous, you can still see who has viewed your profile. Unless they have chosen to remain anonymous themselves, and then you will never be able to see their details. So what you can do is, because it's useful to see who's viewing your account, everyone wants to know who's interested in them. What you can do, though, if you do need to do some covert surveillance, say, of a competitor or a client, or even just look up an ex, you can go and select to be totally anonymous and go and do your research, and then you know, at a later date, say give it a week or so, go and change back to the setting in here, so it shows your name and job details again. this middle one here, I think it's a bit of a waste of time, really. This is where it says, if you were someone in the law practice industry from Melbourne area, Australia, if you actually click on that, it'll give you a page of contacts, and there's always one that jumps out, and you think, oh, well, that's who it is. You kind of know who it is that's usually looking at you, so, you know, and you still lose the detail on who's been viewing your profile. So I wouldn't recommend you bother with that one at any stage. And the only thing is that when you do switch to be anonymous, you will lose the history of who's looked at you. So, you know, go and have a look before you do that. The other stuff I think is fairly self-explanatory. You can, for I think there was someone who used Twitter, the gentleman over there at the back. Do you link it to your LinkedIn? So you post to LinkedIn quite a lot?
No, not a lot. But a
little. Oh, how often do you post to Twitter? Do you mind me asking?
It would probably be once every 2 months.
Oh, okay, that's okay. Okay, as I said, I wouldn't recommend you you use this to manage your Twitter settings. I wouldn't recommend linking them. I think different social media channels have a different voice. And also Twitter, people are, you know, Twitter's the sort of thing you can update several times a day and people are happy with that. But if you've got several updates a day on LinkedIn, you'd probably start to annoy people pretty quickly. So you can combine them, but I don't recommend you do.
We might have a break now for 5 or 10 minutes, have a cup of coffee outside, and we'll come back with the second half of the presentation. And can I say, I reckon I should have said at the start, I think it would be better in this session to ask questions as we go along, when there's a Q&A at the end, but I think it's probably better if you've got a question in your mind while Mo or Justine's presenting, I think just put your hand up and ask, because it might facilitate our learning even more, I think. So please feel free to ask them if you want to.